following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
All right, what's up, guys? It is End Time Headlines here. It is Thursday, September 21st. We want to welcome you to tonight's broadcast. Listen, if you're new to the broadcast, let us know in the comment section below that you are new and this is your first time joining us, whether it's on Rumble or Facebook or YouTube, whatever platform that you're joining us with. We want to welcome you. We hope that you've become a regular viewer and watcher of our program. We want to welcome all you guys on Apple and Spotify as well. You guys that are listening to this broadcast, thank you so much for joining us tonight. Again, I'm your host, Ricky Scapparo, End Time, the founder and voice of End Time Headlines. Listen, if you've not downloaded our free app, we want you to do that today. We encourage you to go to your Play Store, whatever that looks like for you. If it's Apple or Android, get our free app, download it today. Hit yes to push notifications. This is how you're going to keep up with our ministry. Once you hit yes to push notifications, you're going to be notified of every headline, every podcast when it's readily available. All right, guys, before we get started, please do me a favor, hit that like button, hit that bell notification, because this is going to push our teachings and our material and our updates and everything out there on the algorithms on all these platforms. So we would appreciate that tremendously. All right, so tonight I want to talk about the subject of when you see this one thing begin to take place, when this comes to a fullness, this is going to reveal the Antichrist. This is a little different, and probably you probably haven't heard many teachings on this, but we're gonna tackle this tonight. So we're gonna start off in a scripture of the Old Testament. We're gonna go to the book of Daniel. Right here in Daniel chapter 8, verse 23, it talks about the Antichrist, and it talks about how he will rise to power in the last days. Daniel the prophet saw this, but he gives you a clue of his arrival. He gives you a clue of what's going to initiate the appearance of his arrival. Look at this in verse 23 of Daniel 8. If you're listening by Apple or by Spotify, that's where we're at. I'll be reading from the New King James Translation. And in the latter time of their kingdom, when the transgressors have reached their fullness, a king shall arise, having fierce features. I believe the King James says fierce countenance, who understands sinister schemes. Now, when we pull up the even farther here, if you read verse 24, his power shall be mighty, but not by his own power. He shall destroy fearfully and shall prosper and thrive. He shall destroy the mighty and also the holy people. Through his cunning, he shall cause deceit to prosper under his rule, and he shall exalt himself in his heart. This, ladies and gentlemen, is talking about the Antichrist, the man of sin, the son of perdition, the king of fierce countenance, the prince that shall come, the king of Babylon. These are all terms given by different authors to describe this coming Antichrist. There's this, these passages of Daniel 8, 23, 24, and 25 are so rich in the description of the Antichrist, what his manifesto is and what he's going to do. But today I want to home in on one phrase here, and it says, when the transgressors have reached their fullness, then a king shall arise. Or in other words, when transgressions have reached its fullness, when it has reached its fullness through transgressors, then the Antichrist will come on the scene. Now, the word transgression, when you look up the word transgression, it means an act that goes against a law, a rule, or a code of conduct. Now, the term transgression is an act that goes against a law, a rule, or code of conduct, or an offense. So in context here, when you see the Bible use these terms transgressor or transgression or transgressions, it literally means the act of violating God's law, his rule and code of conduct, the moral law that he has put in place. And it's offensive to God. And notice here that Daniel says by revelation of the Lord that there will come a time in the future, in the end times, when transgressors will reach their fullness. He gives you an illustration here. He gives an understanding that there will be a capacity of transgressions. It will reach a fullness. And when that fullness has reached its capacity, it will initiate, or it will produce, this man of fierce countenance, this man of sinister schemes. It will be none other than the Antichrist. And by the way, what Daniel describes here agrees with the revelation that the Apostle Paul gave to the church of Thessalonica in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 that also regards the Antichrist. Let's read it. It's right here on your screen. Now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together unto him, we ask you not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled either by spirit nor word or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of Christ had come. Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first, and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition. Verse 4, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Verse 5, do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things? And now you know what is restraining, that he may be revealed in his own time. Verse 7, for the mystery of lawlessness, somebody say mystery of lawlessness, is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way, and then the lawless one will be revealed. All right, I want you to look at these passages of Scripture. I've highlighted certain things here for you. Here is key things that I want you to remember about this letter that Paul wrote to the church at Thessalonica. Number one, he tells you that there is coming a falling away first. That's the apostasy. That's the defection of truth of the church. That's number one. Number two, he says that there will be a man of sin that will be revealed. That's the Antichrist. It tells you that he will set in the temple of God. That's the third temple that will be constructed, Revelation 11. There he will invade that temple. He will set up his headquarters in that temple, and he will declare himself as God. That's all. That's in the book of Daniel. That's in Matthew 24. That's in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. All right, then he says that there is a restrainer in the earth that is restraining the Antichrist from being revealed in his time, and it will happen until the restrainer is removed. And when the restrainer is removed, then the lawless one will be revealed. I believe, again, this is my opinion. Everybody's got one, and you're going to get three or four or five different opinions on this. I believe the restraining force in the earth that is restraining the Antichrist to be revealed in his time is the church. It's the ecclesia. And when the church is removed from the earth, it is no longer a restraining force in the earth, holding back the man of sin or the lawless one from being revealed. But watch this. He also gives us a clue here. And he said that there is in the earth working today, and it will be continuing to work all the way up to the time of this restraining force being removed and the Antichrist being revealed. And he calls it the mystery of lawlessness. So you see these terms here, lawlessness and transgressions or transgressors. These two, they're equal in spirit and in force and in function and what they're doing in the earth. They're causing havoc. They're causing destruction. They're causing chaos. They're causing division. They're causing civil unrest. They're causing upheaval. All these things are happening in the earth, and they will continue to happen. And it will wax worse. Your Bible says in Matthew 24, it will cause the hearts of many to wax cold, and the love of many will grow cold. Now, I want to point out, I'm going to show you some articles today. We're going to show you some headlines. But before we get there, I got to build you this foundation, because I'm going to show you why I'm going to be talking about the subjects I'm going to be talking about at the latter part of this podcast. Okay, so we're still on this, the fullness of transgressors, the mystery of lawlessness. Yesterday on our podcast, and we've talked about this on multiple podcasts, in Luke 17, Jesus said, as it were in the days of Noah and Lot, so shall it be in the return of the Son of Man. Okay. We know in Genesis chapter 6, verse 5, that the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of their heart was only evil continually. So again, you see this common picture here, this common thread of what we're talking about. Wickedness, evil, transgressions, lawlessness. Okay. All this, Jesus said that as it were in the days of Noah and Lot, so shall it be at the return of the Son of Man, that it's going to get so bad that God will have no choice but to pour out his wrath upon the earth. Now, consequently, the Bible uses a phrase called the wine cup of the wrath of God. It's mentioned in the Bible in context of God's judgment and his wrath. It symbolizes God's anger and the very consequences of disobedience and sin. For example, we can see in the Bible where God references this cup of God's wrath. Okay. For example, let me show you some scriptures where we see this. All right. Revelation 14, 9 and 10. And then a third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if anyone worships the beast and his image and receives his mark on his forehead. So this is in mid-tribulation. Look what it says here in verse 10. He himself shall also drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out full strength into the cup of his indignation. So here again, these individuals who worship the image of the beast and receive the mark of the beast on their right hand or their forehead, God says they will drink of the wrath of God that will be poured out in full strength into the cup of his indignation. All right, here's another one, Revelation 16, 19. Now the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell, and great Babylon was remembered before God to give her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. So here we again see, we see God pouring out this cup that reaches its fullness, and it is equated to the wrath of God being poured out. Now, consequently, I've told you, go back over here to Revelation 14. It references this cup of his indignation. What I thought was interesting is when you go to Isaiah 26, 19, I've brought this out before because I don't believe the church will be the recipient of the wrath of God. In fact, your Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 9, that God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So when you go back here to the Old Testament, Isaiah 26, 19 to 21, this is an absolute depiction and picture, and I believe it's an Old Testament type and shadow of the coming event that Paul described in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 16 through 17, called the rapture of the church. Look what it says here. Your dead shall live together with my dead body. They shall arise. Awake and sing, you who dwell in the dust, for your dew is like the dew of herbs, and the earth shall cast out the dead. Verse 20, come, my people. Enter your chambers and shut your doors behind you. Hide yourself as if it were for a little moment. What does it say here, church? Until the indignation is past. I've already told you what this is. The indignation is the wine cup of the fierceness of the wrath of God being poured out. It's judgment. It's the wrath of God. Verse 21, before behold, the Lord comes out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for iniquity. The earth will also disclose her blood and will no more cover her slain. Again, that's why when we go over to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, Paul is affirming his church. He's reassuring the church here of Church of Thessalonica that the rapture has not taken place. Someone forged a letter. They went around spreading lies, saying and telling the people that they had missed the coming of the Lord. They had missed the rapture, but Paul comes around and assures them, listen, you have not missed the rapture because the Antichrist has not been revealed and you have not been taken away. You have to be removed from the picture or from the equation in order for the man of sin to be revealed. But guys, that's not even what I want to talk about today. What I want to focus on is, again, according to the revelation given to Daniel the prophet, that transgressors will reach their fullness. So in other words, all the evil that we see, the lawlessness we see, the wickedness we see in the earth, and we're going to show you some examples of that today on this podcast, and we're getting ready to transition into that. All of this is going to reach a fullness as it did in the days of Noah and Lot. When it happens, watch this, in Noah's day, the transgressors reached its fullness and God poured out his wrath, come on, in the form of a flood. In Lot's day, the transgressors reached its fullness and God poured out his wrath in the form of fire and brimstone. Now, we fast forward, we come to the tribulation period, and we now know that this is going to happen again. There is, the transgressors will reach their fullness, and God is going to permit or allow the Antichrist to come on the scene, and he's going to deceive the world into declaring himself as God. And your Bible says the whole world wonders after the beast. In fact, it'll be so bad and there'll be so much deception that your Bible says in Paul's letter to the church of Thessalonica in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, where we was just at, it says that there will be lying signs and wonders with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, and God will send a strong delusion that they should believe the lie because they did not accept the truth. So this is going to be a form of judgment that's going to come to the whole world. The Antichrist himself will be a form of judgment because he will come in a form of diplomacy of peace. He'll come in a diplomacy of peace. He will be the one who will utter, remember, according to the book of Daniel, he will have fierce countenance. He shall be a king. He will understand sinister schemes. So he'll possess this supernatural wisdom and knowledge that'll be given to him from Satan. He will have power that will not be his own, because again, he'll be empowered by Satan himself. He will be able to thrive. He'll be able to prosper. So when this guy comes on the scene, he will have such charisma and such influence and open his mouth, and he will be a silver tongue wordsmith, and he will be able to utter speeches, and he'll begin to bring solutions to the world that the world will wonder after this man. They will be succumbed to his deception. They will follow him, and it will go to his head to the point where he will enter this temple in Jerusalem and he will set up his headquarters there, and he will even declare himself as God. So I want to ask you a question. We're going to shift gears here. We've went about 20 minutes or so on this. Now we're going to shift gears, and I want to ask you a question. If, according to the Bible, everything I've showed you, if we're going to see transgressions and iniquities and lawlessness and evil continue to grow and wax worse and worse, I want to ask you a question. Are we seeing this happening today? Well, look at some of these headlines. All right, I want to read this. This is from FoxNews.com. 13-year-old girl gets attacked at a Southern California McDonald's. Okay, well, that's not unusual, but look at but it's the response of the bystanders that really paints a picture of where we are as a society. So here's a 13-year-old girl being attacked by an adult in the middle of McDonald's, and bystanders, instead of anybody coming to her aid and helping her, they all sit around and they pull out their cell phones so that they can get it on video and upload it to social media so that they can get all the likes, all the views, and that they can become popular on social media.
Lane community leaders are calling for justice tonight after a 13-year-old named Cassidy Jones was attacked and beaten inside a Harbor City McDonald's. That shocking video now going viral.
Multiple people can be seen in this video watching the attack. Eventually, one person does step in to break it up. The woman seen beating Jones remains on the loose tonight. Eyewitness News reporter Elena Gomez has the story.
A routine trip to McDonald's after school turned into this for 13-year-old Cassidy Jones. Cell phone video shows a woman hitting the teen inside a Lomita McDonald's. You can see the woman pulling Cassidy's hair and forcing her to the ground before hitting her multiple times. This happened last Wednesday, leaving Cassidy with bruises on her face, and also, her mother says, afraid since no one stepped in to help her.
My daughter is hurting emotionally. She can't sleep at night. She's bruised. She doesn't want to go to school because she's tired of the kids and everybody asking her what happened and making fun of her.
Today, Cassidy's mom and the community came together to protest outside the McDonald's where the incident happened, calling for the woman involved to turn herself in and for the McDonald's managers to be charged since they did not take any action.
So think about that. The managers didn't take action. Everybody but one person intervened to help this girl out. 13 years old, guys. It's a kid. And it, with an adult beating a child. This is ridiculous. Again, and this is where we are with society. We're going to pull out our phone because we're more concerned not with human life, but with being popular and getting famous on social media.
I would like for the person that brutally attacked my 13-year-old daughter to turn herself in. I know you're watching. I know your family is watching. Do right. Do the right thing and turn yourself in.
So again, guys, very sad, pathetic, and it's just, again, it's the times that we're in. This is what we're talking about. Here's another story. A Portland area. I don't know what's going on in Portland, but Portland area mother gets 30 days for waterboarding her baby and putting him in a freezer as a, quote, test for the father. According to the report, a mother was sentenced to 30 days. That's it? Really? 30 days is all she got for this. After Oregon prosecutors say she waterboarded her baby and put him in the freezer during a 2021 incident as a test to see if the father even cared. How sadistic is that? 30-year-old Shardé McDonald pleaded guilty to charges of criminal mistreatment, identification theft, and tampering with a witness after police showed up at her Gresham, Oregon apartment on October the 28th, 2021 to perform a welfare check because someone reported the mother putting her baby in the freezer. When the police officer was outside McDonald's apartment, the mother could be heard yelling at Kendrick Neal, the father of the child, quote, I'm about to show you real quick. You don't want him. Let me show you about this little explicit baby. I don't give explicit about a probable cause affidavit obtained by Fox News Digital. So again, think about this, guys. A woman puts a child in a freezer, waterboards it, does all this just to make a point to the father and gets only 30 days in jail. Wow. Then let's talk about these quick grab organized robberies that keep taking place. As a result of this, look at this headline, quote, it's game over. Nike permanently closes beloved Portland store after issues with retail theft. How a nationwide crime spike is costing U.S. retailers an estimated $100 billion. Now, we've talked about this. We've showed you video footage of this in the past. We've talked about how a lot of these retailers have been forced to lock things up. They put cages up. They put glass up. They put lock and key. You can't have access to everyday items that you should be able to go into your store and get. We're talking about toothpaste. We're talking about deodorants. We're talking about these things. We're not talking about colognes and perfumes. And again, the reason why they're doing this is because of the increase, the uptick, the massive uptick, of thefts and crime, like what this is talking about.
Yeah, in a statement, Nike suggested it's committed to the community in North and Northeast Portland and is considering future locations. But in the meantime, it will permanently close the Nike store on Northeast MLK Boulevard. Several community leaders tell me they are deeply disappointed. The Nike community store has really been a fixture in Northeast Portland since 1984. It was Nike's first ever factory store. The sneaker giant portion of the store's profits to community-based...
Think about how sad that is, guys. How sad is that?
...nonprofits, and it did. Over the years, Nike has donated millions to the surrounding community. But ongoing issues with theft created serious problems at the Nike community store. As we documented last year, thieves often ripped off armloads of Nike shoes and clothing with no fear of being arrested. We saw it firsthand. Security guards...
Well, yeah, because they don't get arrested and nobody does anything about it.
...contracted by Nike admit they're forbidden from physically stopping shoplifters. The store quietly closed a year ago, and Nike has really been silent about its future until today. Nike tried working with City Hall and requested off-duty Portland police officers provide security at the community store, but the mayor said no.
Boy, it's such a shame, Kyle. It's been such a big part of the community. Thank you.
Wow, is this going to be the new normal? Is this going to come to your city? Are you going to see mom-and-pop stores getting raided like this and shut down, being forced to shut down? As if the pandemic wasn't bad enough to shut down all kinds of local business, mom-and-pop stores, franchises. Now we're seeing this. I'm telling you, this is why I said that the world that we knew is over. We're going to look back on this time and be like, these, I would do anything to go back to 2023. If the Lord tarries, could you imagine what it's going to be like a year from now, 2 years from now, 5 years from now, 10 years from now? It's going to be, that's why I think everything's going to go online because of this right here. It's just sad. It's terrible. Again, what are we talking about today? Transgressions, lawlessness, evil, iniquities. This stuff is increasing. It's getting full. The cup is getting more and more and more full. And sadly, as the church continues to lose its influence and lose its power, it is giving way to more and more darkness. And Isaiah described it as gross darkness shall cover the earth. Paul said it would be perilous times. It would be times that we've never seen or experienced before. And guys, this is why you see stories like this. Atheist group demands an Ohio school district block off campus Bible study. A prominent atheist organization is demanding, not suggesting, not asking, demanding an Ohio school district block an on and off campus Bible study that students can engage in during school hours. According to FaithWire, in a letter sent Tuesday to some 600 public schools across the state, the Wisconsin-based Freedom from Religion Foundation rebuked the school districts for the approval of a time-released Bible study program hosted by the Ohio Ministry LifeWise Academy. Annie Lori Gaylor, who is the co-president of the FFRF, argued in a statement, students who participate in the program are, quote, being punished by losing hundreds of hours of academic instruction to LifeWise release time Bible study classes, adding that if parents want their children to be exposed to biblical teachings, they should find ways to, quote, do it without cutting into valuable school hours. So again, it's amazing that you can bring the Satanic Temple there, nobody's got a problem with that, or at least the only people that do have problems with that are, guess who? Born-again Christians. And by the way, I'm getting ready to show you that born-again Christians, Bible-believing Christians, sold-out believers that the world and even among the weak, anemic, passive, progressive churches call extreme, they oppose this stuff, but the majority have no problem with the Satanic Temple, the Satanic Church. They have no problem with the alphabet community coming in and control things and this. But hey, a Bible study? Well, that's going too far. The report says that the release time program involves a public school allowing students to attend religious instruction during school hours, provided that if it's off campus and not directly endorsed by the local, endorsed by the school itself. And of course, several complaints from families have poured in different school districts alleging that non-attending students were given busy work or no work at all as a consequence of staying behind during released time classes. All right, so we're getting ready I'm getting ready to close this podcast, but I want to point out something here. This is where I want to kind of go with the close of this. I'm going to show you an article. I'm going to read this. It's a short article, But I want to show you that. Watch, let's recap this. So we know, according to the book of Daniel, that there is going to be, when the transgressors have reached their fullness, when iniquity, transgression, evil, wickedness, when all of this reached, when it reaches its climax, when the fullness of this has come, it will result in the indignation of God's wrath being poured out. Okay? We also know that this cup of this, this transgressor, when his transgressors, whatever this fullness is, only God knows, when it reaches its fullness, it will result in the Antichrist being revealed. In other words, let me break this down and make it even more simple. Something has to pave the way for the Antichrist to make his appearance. And I believe it's twofold. Number one, based on Daniel 8, when the transgressors have reached their fullness. And number two, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, when the restraining force on the earth is taken out of the way, then the man of sin can be fully revealed in his time. I propose to you today, and I know, and I get it, there's going to be people that's going to disagree with me on this, and that's okay. This is my podcast. If you don't agree, or if you don't agree, then I hope we can all be mature believers here and we agree to disagree. But I believe if the church is the restraining force, and let me tell you why I believe the church is the restraining force, keeping the Antichrist at bay or holding him back. Think about it, friends. The Bible says we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, and spiritual wickedness in heavenly places, right? That's what the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6. If that's the case, we as the church are a restraining force through prayer, through fasting, through intercession, through the word of God. When we release these things in the atmosphere through praying, interceding, and doing all these things, remember, Daniel... Since we're in the book of Daniel, Daniel got the revelation when he was praying and fasting for 21 days for the answer to his prayer. The angel appeared to him and said that the Lord heard his prayer on the first day, but it was being contended in heaven through spiritual warfare from a principality that was holding back the answer to the prayer. So, oh, come on, somebody. What I'm saying is, as believers, what we decree, what we release, what we pray, what we believe, when we make declarations and we stand on the word of God, we are changing the atmosphere of where we are at. The locality, the proximity, the cities, the areas, the regions of where we're in, through prayer, through intercession. If you don't believe that, go back and study the first and second great awakenings. It was a dark, gloom and doom time period. But when a group of individuals became desperate and began to come together and they begin to pray, they begin to fast, they begin to intercede, they begin to change their entire atmosphere. God showed up. There was a mighty sweeping move of God. It went from a revival into a full-blown awakening. So listen, as a result of that, bars were shut down, clubs were shut down, liquor stores were shut down, prostitution rings were shut down, drug dealers were shut down, iniquity began to diminish, lawlessness began to diminish, robberies began to diminish, thefts began to diminish. There was all these things that was a consequent or as a direct result of the prayers and intercessions and the move of God that was taking place. So it's safe to say that if the church, the ecclesia, is a restraining force and has been for thousands of years on the earth, what's going to happen when the church is removed from the equation? I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. When the church is removed from the equation, there will be no more restrainer in the earth. Now, of course, there'll be an element of the Holy Spirit, because remember, the Holy Spirit was on the earth before humanity was ever here. He was here hovering over the face of the waters. Read it, Genesis chapter 1. So just because the church is removed doesn't mean the Holy Spirit is removed from the earth. He will still be in the earth convicting men and allowing men's hearts to turn to him during the tribulation. But I'm telling you, the church, the ecclesia, the bride of Christ, when it is removed, there will be a void in the earth And that void is going to allow lawlessness, iniquity, and darkness to become so great that it is going to be prime time for the Antichrist to come on the scene with all of his deception, with all of his antics, with all of his manipulation, with all of his lies. Everything will come out and the world will wander after the beast because there is no restrainer in the form of the church on the earth to stop him. But let me shift gears. I got to get this in here. As the world gets darker, watch this, as the world gets darker and more evil and more iniquity and more lawlessness begins to abound, what does the Bible say? That in the end times, that good will be evil and evil will be good and they'll exchange darkness for light and light for darkness, right? So the world's going to flip over on its end. Society will tip on its end. What used to be morally right will no longer matter. Come on, is that not what we're at today? And as a result of that, the consequence will be, watch this, those of us who are born again believers, who have conviction, who are full of the Holy Ghost, who stand on morality, who have a standard, and who preach the word of God uncompromised, we will become a thorn in the flesh of society. And I want to show you this article that absolutely confirms what I'm telling you here. Now, this was an article written by Tim Moore. Why Christians are being labeled the new troublers of society. Let me read this. Are Christians the troubles of society? Question mark. That's the question that has echoed down through the ages, all the way back to when the prophet Elijah showed up at Mount Carmel and King Ahab bitterly asked him, "Is this you, you troubler of Israel?" Well, we've come full circle. As many in our society would label Christians as the new troubles of our society, or we could say the thorns of the flesh. Christians are being held responsible and are being accused of holding back the progress of progressives who are trying to conform society to their ideology. All throughout the history of the church, somewhere Christians have lived under persecution. Even the New World was founded by Christian separatists and Puritans who needed to escape religious persecution. Americans have been so blessed since the 1600s to live in a country that historically has stood on Judeo-Christian values. Therefore, Christians in this country have felt safe. But times are changing. Many Christians in the West are not feeling particularly safe anymore. Today, society is instead defined by people calling good evil and evil good, just as the prophet Isaiah warned in Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20. Jewish commentators such as Dennis Prager have spoken how Christianity has been a positive influence on society, providing both moral and legal foundations that guide how we interact as civilization. Prager also warns that as our Judeo-Christian foundations are broken down, the result will be our society pitching over into chaos. Our society is indeed breaking down, and not just in the crazy corners of America, but in places that are quite surprising. Let me give you a great example of this. This is from the Christian Post. We reported this on our main website, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. Christian venues and churches. So stadiums and churches are canceling evangelical men's outreach promise keepers. Why are they canceling them? Over their gender ideology. Let's read a little bit about this. What happens when cancel culture infects the church? Promise Keepers, who is an evangelical organization founded in 1990 that holds men's rallies in stadiums nationwide, has had several scheduled events at churches and other venues canceled them in recent months. As recently as June, Belmont University, a quote, private Christian university in Nashville, recently canceled a Promise Keepers event after the National Christian Men's Ministry posted a blog criticizing the Alphabet Community's Pride Month. The university accused the organization. Now look at this. This is a Christian university accused Promise Keepers because of their stance and standing and defending the Bible. They accused them of, quote, unnecessarily fanning the flames of culture wars. If that is not the most lukewarm compromised, seeker-sensitive comment that I've ever heard. And this is just one of several events that was later canceled by Christian venues, and I use that in quotation marks, including Hope Church in Tennessee and the Fountain of Praise in Houston. The chairman and CEO, Ken Harrison, said that, quote, one venue was worried that we would offend people by expressing our belief rooted in Scripture. Think about how insane this sounds. About gender and sexual identity. Others said they didn't want to draw protesters or simply didn't give us a reason. In other words, we don't want to offend anybody. We don't want to rock the boat. We don't want to be controversial. We just want easy peasy. We just want to make everybody happy. Harrison went on and said that the cancellations were disheartening given that they did not come from secular groups, but they were coming from self-proclaimed Christian groups. Quote, it's disheartening to us that churches don't want to offend people with the truth of the word. Come on, brother, preach. Something we've come to expect from the culture, but which dismays us coming from Christian institutions. Well, what do you know? God is exposing the goats and the tares. Come on, if you let the tares grow long enough, they'll expose themselves. And that is exactly what's going on. What am I talking about? I am talking about, friends, iniquity, lawlessness, and evil is growing, and its magnitude is becoming full. And my friend, when that time comes, we don't know. Only God in heaven knows when it reaches its fullness. My friends, things are going to be wrapped up because the entire tribulation is about God pouring out the cup of the winepress of the wrath of God upon the earth. And it's being done through all these judgments that he will release in this period of time that, again, scholars equate to as the tribulation. And then you have the great tribulation. It's breaking up 42 months and 42 months. It's all there in the book of Revelation. But come on, I didn't come by to bring you sorrowful news. I came by to bring you a redemptive hope, and that is this. That's this. Luke 21:28, Jesus said, when you begin to see all these things coming to pass, you look up and lift up your heads because your redemption is drawn near. Why did he tell us to look up and lift up our heads? Because that's where the sound of the trumpet is going to blast in 1 Thessalonians 4:16 and 17 when he calls the church home. When we are, as the restrainer is removed from the earth, then the man of sin, the Antichrist, will make his arrival. And my friends, when he makes his arrival on the earth, it is going to be a time that is going to be so bad, so dark, and so treacherous that Jesus himself said, unless the days have been shortened, there be no flesh that would survive. Again, I wanted to give you this word as a watchman. I wanted to give you the warning of this, but then give you the redemptive hope of this. And look, I know there's people out there that bash and they trash the rapture, which is perplexing to me because Paul addressed the rapture as the blessed hope of the saints. Think about this, church. If Paul, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, called the rapture, the catching away of the church, the blessed hope, and we have people in the body of Christ attacking it, it makes me wonder what spirit they're working from. Oh, come on. That's extra right there. That's a little cherry on the top of this message today. Listen, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. Please share this. Get it out there. Get the information out there. Again, download our free app. It's available on Apple. It's available on Android. That's where you're going to keep up with this. That's where you're going to find all of our articles and our podcasts. Go to Google, go to Apple, download it, hit yes to push notifications, and you're going to be good to go. As always, hit that like button, share button. Get it out there, get the information across so that people can be informed of the times and seasons in which we're in. Guys, listen, if you enjoy our content, you support what we do, you stand behind our vision, our mission statement is to inform you of the times and seasons which we're in from a biblical perspective. We want to encourage you to pray about becoming a monthly partner. Listen, you can do that two different ways. Right there on the screen, you can give electronically through the app. That's the easiest way, or you can give by check or by money order, and you can make that out to right there on the screen at End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 1391. That's going to be Monroe, Georgia, 30655. As always, thank you so much for coming on today for this segment. We're going to sign off for tonight. We'll be right back here Friday, September 22nd, to finish off this week of podcasts. Again, same time, same place, same channel, 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern. Until then, may the Lord bless you, may He keep you, and may His countenance shine upon you. We'll see you then.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.